Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus' words in the gospel reading are curious. He said, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." What is it that we know about the scribes and the Pharisees? They knew their scripture and zealously tried to keep the law so that God's wrath would not be against them and the temple would not fall. We know that they were the foremost teachers of the Torah. We also know that they interpreted laws and commandments in such a way that they could convince themselves that they had upheld the law and the commandments. We also know from the four Gospels, which record the tension between Jesus and these religious leaders. They despised Jesus for eating with sinners, prostitutes, tax collectors, and other, quote-unquote, unsavory figures. They plotted and schemed to murder the Son of God for preaching the truth of Scripture. Yet, Jesus still says, our righteousness must exceed theirs in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. The Pharisees and the scribes looked at the commandments and thought, I haven't murdered, I haven't stolen, I've loved God, therefore I've kept the law. This, however, is the letter of the law and not the spirit of the law. The Pharisees and scribes thought that they were loving God with all their heart, soul, and mind, and loving their neighbors as themselves by their outward display of righteousness. They interpreted the law in a way to justify themselves and to make them closer to being like God. Jesus, however, the premier preacher of the law, he who alone has the right to tell its intent, meaning, and foundation, knew the sinful thoughts of man. He said, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment.'" This right here is the outward keeping of the commandment. However, Jesus goes on to say, "But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. And whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to the hell of fire." Here, he insists on an inward keeping of the commandment from the heart. He knows the Pharisees, like us, pompously masqueraded around with false piety, deluding themselves that they had kept the commandments outwardly. Yet, isn't it true that hatred for the neighbor dwells in our hearts? Many hide behind the title Christian, using it as an entitlement to put down their neighbors. How often do we fall into this Pharisaical trap of self-justification? How often do we look around at those who surround us and judge ourselves to be vastly superior? We do not love God with our whole heart, soul, and mind. We do not love our neighbors as ourselves. We look at others with contempt in our hearts. We see examples from the news, social media, even in our own conversations. And if you look at these, it is easy to find an attack on another person. This politician is foolish and ought to be put to shame. This person who wears a mask or doesn't wear a mask is foolish and doesn't know anything. This group of people don't think like me, and therefore they don't deserve to have an opinion. On and on it goes. Perhaps we have even thought or spoken in these ways against our neighbor. When harmful, angry thoughts enter our minds and our blood starts to boil, we are in fact murdering our neighbor in our heart. If we are supposed to observe the law perfectly, keeping it inwardly and outwardly, how can sinners receive eternal life? If the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, who were considered the most pious holy men and devoted themselves to zealously studying God's word, if their righteousness was not enough to win the kingdom of heaven, what hope is there for us? Who has such exceeding righteousness? The only righteousness that matters, the one exceeding all, comes only from Christ. When man failed to uphold the law, God himself stepped forward to uphold the law and to save a sinful people. Jesus alone loved God with all his heart, soul, and mind, living the perfect life and obeying the commandments perfectly. He alone loves his neighbor as himself, willingly taking our place upon the cross, bearing our sins, and receiving the wrath which we deserved for our sins. He suffered all things for a people who could never love perfectly. On that cross, his blood atoned for our inability, our hatred, our jealousy, our greed, our sin. All our evil thoughts, words, and deeds were placed upon him on that day. He received the full punishment of our sins. And in exchange, the great exchange, he gave his perfect, exceeding righteousness to this imperfect people. This was the design of God from the very beginning when Adam fell. That sacrifice of his son's body and blood alone is acceptable to ransom sinners, a fact which is attested to in the resurrection, as Peter spoke in Acts chapter 2. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you killed and crucified by hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. Now, all sinners are accounted righteous through Jesus' exceeding righteousness. So how do we receive such righteousness? We know that Jesus died for the sins of the whole world, and yet there are some who do not receive this gift or even actively reject it. We have received this gift through baptism, as St. Paul wrote in the epistle for this morning, Romans chapter 6. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. You do not have to work to receive Christ's righteousness. In fact, there is nothing you can do to earn it. Yet at your baptism, the triune name of God was given to you freely. It is a life-giving water, rich in grace, and a washing of new birth in the Holy Spirit, poured out to you by Christ. You are no longer an enemy of God, but you are a child justified by his grace. And as a child, you are an heir to what Christ has won for you, namely, eternal life with him in his kingdom, which has no end. We remain in a world full of sin. We still have the innate urge to rebel against God and to reject his word, to hate our neighbors and to slander them, even though we are baptized Christians. It is a battle that, if left to stand on our own righteousness, we would lose and fall into the prison of hell forever. And yet, we are not alone. Having received Christ's exceeding righteousness through baptism, we are able to withstand by his Spirit at work in us. Each day, the Spirit works so that the old Adam, who wants nothing more than to reject God's gift, this old Adam is drowned and dies, along with all sin and evil desires. And a new man daily emerges and arises to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. Therefore, having received this righteousness from Christ through baptism, do not continue to sin. Do not continue to hate your brother. Do not revert to your old ways of jealousy and hatred. By Christ's suffering, death, and resurrection, we are not slaves of sin, but we are under his exceeding righteousness. He has reconciled us with the Father through his righteousness, so that reconciliation with one another is possible. If we continue slandering, harming, and hating our neighbors, we allow ourselves to be drawn towards a prison that we cannot pay our way out of. Instead, love one another, dying to sin and living in Christ, as St. Paul continued on in the epistle, Romans chapter 6. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we also believe we will live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death has no longer dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive in God in Christ Jesus. Having received Christ's exceeding righteousness, let us live to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord.